Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. It is 1 week till Election Day, and there is a very interesting mayoral election taking place in New York right now, one that has national implications for democracy, equality, and the Democratic Party in America. The thing is, this very interesting New York mayoral race is in Buffalo, not New York City, where the election is unlikely to be close. For those of you who don't know this story, back in June, a nurse, an activist, and Democratic socialist, a Bernie Sanders supporter in the presidential races, India Walton, won the Democratic mayoral primary in Buffalo over the 16-year incumbent mayor, Byron Brown. That was interesting enough. Walton would be the first Democratic socialist mayor of a major American city in decades, and she was expected at first to cruise to victory in the general election because, well, Republicans are not competitive in Buffalo. But what has happened since is the real story. Mayor Brown decided he would not accept the results of the Democratic primary and leave office. He is waging a write-in campaign for the voting that is now underway. Early voting began on Saturday. And even more shocking, many of New York's top Democrats have refused to endorse the Democratic nominee, Ms. Walton. That list includes Governor Hochul, her newly appointed Lieutenant Governor, Brian Benjamin, Attorney General Letitia James, Controller Tom DiNapoli, and infamously, the State Democratic Party Chair, Jay Jacobs, who said the party would be under no obligation to support its nominee if KKK leader David Duke won a primary, so it's under no obligation for India Walton. Nice comparison, right? Between David Duke and a working-class black woman running on an equality platform. In just a minute, we'll talk to Buffalo News political reporter Bob McCarthy. First, here's a clip of India Walton on this show back in July after she won the primary on centering poor people if she's elected because the rich will be okay.
I look forward to saying the rich people will be fine. We've given $1 billion in tax incentives to Elon Musk for an empty Tesla factory in Buffalo, right? Like that is the legacy that I am going to actively undo. And my pledge to my people is that I'm going to put poor people at the center of our policy making and also give them decision making power by co-governing and respecting the wishes of the people that actually are living this in real time and that have the problem. So I'm really excited.
India Walton here on July 6th. We'll hear more clips as we go. With us now, Buffalo News political reporter Bob McCarthy. Bob, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Always good to be with you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So for people who don't know anything about Buffalo, except maybe that the Bills are in first place, who is India Walton and how did she win the Democratic primary?
Well, that's a really good question because not a lot of people had heard of India Walton before late last year. And I think that I got a tip one day saying that this activist woman was planning to challenge the mayor in a primary and called her up and, yeah, I'm going to do that. And we'd known a little bit about her because she had been present at many of the anti-police demonstrations that cropped up in Buffalo as they did across the country last summer following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And so we knew a little bit about her. She
and
was
just,
present
just to be fair,
a lot of
say
those events.
Anti-police. She would probably say anti-police brutality, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean, for sure, yeah. She popped up at many of those demonstrations, bullhorn in hand, and that's probably the first we knew about her. She did emerge also as the director of a land trust that in the Fruit Belt area, which was threatened with gentrification as the burgeoning medical campus here was kind of seeping into that neighborhood. And so she was beginning to make a name for herself, but I would say that 99% of the people in Buffalo did not know her, and that has changed markedly since she won the Democratic primary in June.
Well, over the weekend, Senators Gillibrand and Schumer finally endorsed Walton. But am I up to date on the rest of this list? Governor Kathy Hochul, Attorney General Letitia James, Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, and Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin all have not endorsed their party's nominee for mayor of Buffalo?
Governor Kathy Hochul, I know, has not, and I'm not sure about the others. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
All right. And why would Hochul or anybody in those positions even be hesitant? Why would it have taken Schumer and Gillibrand this long and only under pressure from progressives in their party? Why isn't it a fait accompli or just a no-brainer, an obvious thing, a matter of routine that Democratic Party leadership endorses the Democratic nominee?
Well, that is the heart of what we're dealing with here, that not everybody in the Democratic Party is ready to sign on to this. We have a op-ed piece in our paper today written by Congressman Tom Suozzi, who has actually been up here campaigning for Mayor Brown, who says that the party should not be latching itself onto a socialist agenda. Jay Jacobs, the chairman of the State Democratic Committee, has also expressed the same sentiment that the party, that he is not ready to back a socialist for mayor of Buffalo. Others, such as the Erie County Democratic Party, others, such as Senators Schumer and Gillibrand, have said, we recognize and respect the decision of the primary voters in June, and we will therefore climb on board the Walton campaign. As far as the governor, we ask, and she just says, I'm not going to go there.
The Jay Jacobs remark, I have the audio, but I'm not going to play it because it's so offensive. I'll just quote it. And remember, his job is New York State Democratic Party chairman. He said, quote, let's take a scenario, very different, where David Duke, you remember him, the Grand Wizard of the KKK, he moves to New York, he becomes a Democrat, he runs for mayor in the city of Rochester, which is a low primary turnout, and he wins the Democratic line. I have to endorse David Duke? I don't think so, unquote, from State Democratic Party Chairman Jay Jacobs. So to be fair, he said David Duke would be a very different scenario. But why does he see David Duke and India Walton as similarly objectionable enough that that was the analogy he used?
Well, I don't know what was going through the chairman's mind on that. I won't speak for him. All I know is that that did spark a firestorm of protest around the state, including from Governor Hochul, who condemned the remark. You know, what made him say such a thing, I don't know.
I condemn the remark, but I won't endorse the Democratic nominee. So she has doubts about whether the nominee is too outside the bounds of what the governor considers politically acceptable, I guess. When they say socialist, when Tom Suozzi, for example, centrist Democratic member of Congress from Queens and Nassau County, says he doesn't want to endorse a socialist agenda, you mentioned police rallies or police anti-police brutality rallies. Hold those aside for a minute. When they talk about not being ready to endorse a socialist agenda, what does that mean to them in terms of economics?
What is her agenda? Is that what you're asking me?
No. What are they afraid of, those Democrats who won't endorse India Walton? What do they say?
Well, there are a lot of things in her platform which calls for, community land trusts that she was involved in for using public land for that vacant public land for the public good. She proposes a $7.5 million reduction in the police department budget, which the mayor has claimed will result in the firing of 100 police officers right off the bat, and you're talking about a force of about 750 people. She does not say that any of those people will be fired. India Walton says that she will achieve those savings through attrition. She also sees the need for vast reforms in policing here in the city, in such as domestic disputes. Maybe they should be handled by mental health counselors, she says. Maybe that's not the kind of thing that police officers should be responding to, and maybe some of the people who will eventually not be working for the police department might be working in mental health capacities. The mayor will say that his police department has made many of these accommodations, especially since George Floyd's death. But those are the kinds of things that are beginning to cause some concern among some people like Tom Suozzi, among the other people who have not jumped up aboard her candidacy.
And I guess Tom Suozzi must think that people in Queens and Nassau County care who he endorses for mayor of Buffalo and that it not be a Democratic Socialist.
Let's remember that Tom Suozzi is often mentioned as a candidate for governor, and that maybe he has something in mind about that, and maybe he is beginning to reinforce some of the connections that he made in this city 15 years ago when he challenged Eliot Spitzer in the Democratic primary for governor, and maybe he's outlining some kind of a centrist position himself among potential candidates for governor. Just thinking. Who knows?
That's interesting thinking. Doesn't necessarily explain Letitia James, who may well run for governor and presumably would be to the left of Tom Suozzi, is also an African-American woman and a progressive, ran herself for the first time that she got elected to office outside the Democratic Party on the Working Families Party line in Brooklyn a number of years ago. And at least as of 4 days ago, which is the last press reference I can find, Letitia James has not endorsed India Walton. Listeners, I want to open the phones. If you're listening in Buffalo right now or are from Buffalo, call in and help the rest of us learn about this race and the context for your city and nationally as you see it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Others may call too. If you've been following the Buffalo mayoral campaign or have a question about it, for Buffalo News political reporter Bob McCarthy, 212-433. Did I even give out the right number before? You know, we changed back yesterday, and listeners take note. Don't necessarily put it on your speed dial because we want a lot of different people to call on different days. But we changed back as of yesterday to our usual call-in number that we had to suspend for a while for technical reasons during the pandemic. But we are back to 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So anybody with a thought or a question about the Buffalo mayoral race, you are welcome to call in now or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Bob, you cover Buffalo politics, not necessarily other things around the state, but to your knowledge, if you've looked at it, how often, if ever, has this happened before, that the Democratic Party leadership in New York, including many of the top elected officials, like governor and attorney general, declined to back the nominee for any major office?
Very seldom, Brian. I can tell you that it did happen one time in the 1960s in a mayoral situation regarding Mayor Frank Sedita, who was kind of a legendary mayor way before my time. But it did happen where the Democratic leadership did not honor the wishes of the Democratic voters in a primary. But that's a very rare occurrence. And in this instance, the Erie County Democratic Party had been backing Mayor Brown for re-election. He won their endorsement before the primary. But immediately after the primary, the next day, Chairman Jeremy Zellner said, "I must respect the wishes of the Democratic Party voters here, even though it was a very, very small percentage of not only the party, but the whole electorate of the city. And he said, nope, this is it. This is the primary voters have spoken. She's the nominee of the Democratic Party, and that's where the Erie County Democratic Committee will be. So it is a very rare situation, I think, where even this kind of a thing happens. And remember, Byron Brown is the immediate past chairman of the New York State Democratic Committee. So this thing is pretty, has a lot of implications for Democrats around the state.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and play a clip of India Walton on this show reacting to the notion that Byron Brown, rather than accept defeat in the Democratic primary, would run a write-in campaign against her. We have a lot of people connected to Buffalo and not calling in. We'll also play a clip or two of Byron Brown, who is this 16-year mayor of Buffalo, and why, from his perspective, would he run this maverick write-in campaign after being part of the establishment for so long? And just heard he was chair of the State Democratic Committee himself. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we're talking about very important, with national implications, race for mayor of Buffalo after Democratic Socialist India Walton won the Democratic mayoral primary back in June, and the incumbent Democratic mayor, Byron Brown, would not accept the results and is running a write-in campaign to try to defeat her in the election that is now underway and, of course, culminates next Tuesday, Election Day. Our guest is Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News. And here's another clip of India Walton on this show in July, just after Mayor Brown announced he would launch that write-in campaign after losing the primary.
I'm not surprised. I know the current mayor, and I'm not shocked. I'm not really shocked. I think that is more disrespectful to the voters, because during the primary election, he really didn't campaign. He refused to debate me. Buffalo's the third poorest nation of the third poorest city of its size in the nation. And frankly, he's had 16 years to do something, and nothing has been done. And I think that is the message that is resonating with the voters. It's time for something new and something better, and bold and visionary ideas. That's just it, right? He's got a record, and it's not too great, and everyone knows it.
So that's part of Walton's take on Brown's record, speaking here in July. Here's part of Brown's defense in a televised debate they held last month.
We cut taxes by 16%. We created over 2,200 units of new affordable housing. We expanded youth employment and youth job opportunities and hired the most diverse workforce in the history of the city of Buffalo.
Byron Brown from the debate with India Walton. Bob McCarthy, veteran political reporter for the Buffalo News, is our guest. How would you begin to describe Mayor Brown's record? I see your latest article includes in the headline, "Some wonder if Byron Brown's shelf life has expired." What did you mean by that, and how would you begin to communicate to people around the country watching this race for its national implications what his record was?
Well, I think that right there is the mayor's most glaring problem, the fact that he has been the mayor for four terms. Only Jim Griffin also won four terms. Nobody else has ever served five terms. And that's one of the problems. And it's one of the things, it's an old political axiom, as you know, that especially among executive positions like mayor, that you have a shelf life, that your expiration date expires, and that voters need to look for somebody else, and they seek somebody else. And that's a major part of what's going on here. He will talk about all of those things that you just played, all of the accomplishments that he believes has happened under his administration. And, you know, there have been some good things that have been going on here. The city has noted its first increase in population since the 1950 census, and that's huge. And there's a lot that are going on downtown and a lot of development that have made it a very attractive city these days. India Walton will say that, okay, we've have some progress, but he hasn't done enough, and he hasn't looked at the areas of the city that are indeed very poor. It is the third poorest city in America, and that's still a problem. And so what she is trying to do is to get a reallocation of resources to the neighborhoods, which is, I think, a perennial type of debate that goes on in mayoral elections, at least in this city, about whether or not there has been enough. And enough attention paid in some of these poor areas and in programs that might lift up people to contribute to the economy in that way. And she has been mostly critical of the mayor for his working closely with developers and allowing them to call a lot of the shots, is the way she puts it. So that's kind of in a nutshell. And you mentioned that debate. She looked at him at one point in the debate and said, "I don't even know what you're doing here," because he was not on the ballot. And the only way that he is going to get there is by writing in, and there's all kinds of difficulties associated with that.
Daniel in Buffalo, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you for doing this program. I've been a supporter of India Walton. I voted for her in the primary. I didn't expect her to win. I don't know anybody who expected her to win, but I was so impressed that she did. I voted for her because I heard her messages at rallies during the Black Lives Matter movement last year, and people who knew her said good things about her. Byron Brown administration, in my opinion, is very corrupt, and the Buffalo News, who your guest Bob McCarthy works for, sort of hedges on the corruption aspect of the Brown administration. They've written articles about the Buffalo Urban Renewal Agency and campaign contributions and Carl Palladino given development rights, and every few years the Buffalo News does a good article about the Buffalo Municipal Housing Authority, but nothing comes of these things. I mean, everybody knows that every politician will say campaign contributions don't mean anything to the work that I do, and you know that there is no quid pro quo. And of course, unless a politician is really, really stupid, it's very difficult to prove any quid pro quo. But there is out-and-out corruption that the Buffalo News doesn't write about. I've written to at least two reporters at the Buffalo News.
And Daniel, I'm gonna leave it there and get a reaction from Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News. You put a lot on the table, very interesting stuff. So, Bob, on his basic charge that there is corruption on the part of Mayor Byron Brown, what has been documented, if anything, about that?
Well, I'm very glad that Daniel reads the news. you could tell he follows us closely, but not closely enough, because, my goodness, I broke the story that a federal grand jury was looking at some municipal contracts that had been awarded. I've written about the raids that the FBI has conducted in City Hall, in City Hall, going into municipal offices and coming out with cartloads of files and boxes of documents. I've written about the guilty plea of the consulting firm of the former deputy mayor. I've written about the mayor's close association with former Erie County Democratic Chairman Steve Pidgeon, who now awaits sentencing on federal bribery charges. The news has been there for all of this and documented all of this. And we've also written that after all of this, the U.S. Attorney's Office has never done anything. And you can't dispute that fact. And we, when we had a profile about the mayor in Saturday's paper, it outlined all, or excuse me, in Sunday's paper, it outlined all of that situation. And the mayor comes back and says, yes, but nothing has happened. And you can't dispute that. So what I would say is there's all kinds of question marks. Daniel is correct in saying that all of these things had happened, but I would not accept that the news has not been there to document all of this.
The caller mentioned Carl Palladino, who some people will remember as a one-time Republican gubernatorial candidate. And he came up when India Walton was on the show. And you'll hear my characterization of him in this little clip when India Walton was talking about some of the people who are for Byron Brown, and you can fact check this for us, Bob, and tell us if this is true. India Walton on this show back in July.
He has the support of the Michael Bloombergs of the world and Carl Palladino, who's a local developer, former school board member that was disgraced and removed from the school board after making disparaging remarks about First Lady Michelle Obama and sending racist and sexist emails around.
He ran for governor, right? Carl Palladino ran for governor from Buffalo. He's like the low rent Donald Trump before Donald Trump.
The low rent Donald Trump, and you know he has vowed publicly to destroy me, and that's what I'm up against here.
So is that what she's up against? First of all, did Michael Bloomberg support? Is Michael Bloomberg supporting Byron Brown and Carl Palladino? Without going into the sorrier aspects of his history, I mean, he's a conservative Republican. Is Byron Brown taking support from him?
I'm not aware of Mayor Bloomberg offering his support to Mayor Brown. It could be. I don't know. But I think what India Walton is saying about Carl Palladino is embodied in a story that we have on our front page today, that the New York State Republican Committee is sponsoring mailers for Byron Brown, lifelong Democrat, and former chairman of the New York State Democratic Committee. This doesn't make a lot of sense. But mailers have been arriving in mailboxes here over the past few days, paid for by the state GOP. And when we asked Chairman Nick Langworthy about it yesterday, he's issued a statement saying that we will attack socialism on all levels. He wouldn't talk about it, but that was the rationale for this. The Walton campaign has also done an extensive analysis of contributions that have come to the Brown campaign since the primary, and about one-third of them come from people who have supported Republican candidates in the past. So what they're trying to do is to make that connection, and the mayor responds with, I will accept support from anyone who would like to vote for me. Remember, the Republican Party in
I guess that would include David Duke, to go to Jay Jacobs' analogy, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but what I will say is that the Republicans in the city of Buffalo are outnumbered 7-1, so they didn't even field a candidate, and that's why they're kicking themselves and why they now have to support Democrat Byron Brown.
Yeah, but he's welcoming Carl Palladino support, at very least, it sounds like. How much?
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true.
Go ahead.
The mayor has not accepted Carl Palladino's support, and as a matter of fact, rejected it.
But there's Carl Palladino money in his campaign. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not aware of that. I don't know. I would have to check that.
John in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Is that me?
You.
In Queens?
Yes.
Hi. I have a very short question. Has Ocasio-Cortez supported the presumptive running for Mayor, Ms. Walton, in Buffalo? Obvious question.
You know, I would have to look that up, but I think the obvious answer is I'm sure she has. Do you know specifically, Bob?
I do. As a matter of fact, she came here Saturday to lead a rally that was jam-packed in a theater downtown, urging that India Walton be elected mayor. And it was a very huge accomplishment on her part, I think, and to get this leading voice of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party to come here and urge her election. So, yeah, she most certainly is.
And she's certainly
very much behind India Walton.
A very potentially close analogy, right? She was pretty much unknown a year before her defeat in a Democratic primary of an establishment Democrat, Congressman Crowley, who had been in the leadership in the Democratic Party in Congress from that district in Queens and the Bronx. But AOC ran on her Democratic Party, Democratic Socialist agenda within the Democratic Party, and saying that Crowley had fallen out of touch. And I did not see Joe Crowley run a write-in campaign after Ocasio-Cortez won the nomination. I did not see Democratic Party leaders refuse to support the Democratic nominee after she won that race. So there are analogies to AOC. And there are some others, too, as you know, some downstate politicians who are Democrats and also call themselves DSA members, Democratic Socialists of America. And they haven't faced this kind of backlash within the party that India Walton is facing. So let me ask you this. Both candidates are black, though one is a man and one is a woman. How much are race or gender factors in these campaigns, explicitly or otherwise, as far as you can report?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because when Byron Brown ran for mayor the first time 16 years ago, he did it with the possibility of becoming the city's first black mayor, which he did. But since then, I don't really see race as being any kind of a factor in this situation. I did a story about the Delaware district in the city, which is the most affluent and used to be referred to as the silk stocking council district in the city. And it was very much split, I think, between the two candidates. But the point is that Delaware had, especially in recent years, a very white district, had come to support Mayor Brown with pretty healthy results during the last elections. And I just have not seen race become an issue in this in any way. And even in other mostly white districts, I would say that it just hasn't raised itself as an issue.
Last question. Do you think, and I did ask about gender also. I mean, is India Walton running on this at all? I haven't been following the race closely, but I could imagine her saying, you know, not everybody who's black really supports the policies that are going to most benefit black people. And then there's the question of gender.
India Walton would be the first woman to be mayor of Buffalo. And there are many women who are excited about that. And so I think only in that aspect has it become an issue, but I have not heard anybody disparaging her, or I haven't heard the mayor disparaging her as a woman candidate or anything like that. But I will tell you that, yeah, there's a lot of women in this city who think that's pretty cool, and they would like to see a woman occupy that big office on the second floor of City Hall.
Right. But as far as you know, Walton isn't calling out what she might see as implicit bias against her as a woman, anything like that, not a factor in the campaign?
Not anything major that has really jumped into the headlines, no.
Last question. Do you think this race has national implications?
Yes, I do, Brian, because first of all, it's gotten very focused attention from many newspapers and TV and radio from around the country and even outside the country. It's the possibility of a socialist mayor being elected for the first time in a American city of consequence since Milwaukee in the late 1950s. So this is kind of important stuff. And as I wrote in a story that we had on Sunday, that it is a battle for Buffalo's political soul. It will tell us whether or not it is the old Buffalo, a Democratic city made up of ethnic conservative Democrats who, maybe really didn't follow that kind of thing, or whether it will be an AOC situation where the city has changed and where now there are younger people and immigrants who are more interested in the kind of Democratic politics offered by India Walton. So when these results become apparent next week, it's going to tell us a lot about the city, and it's going to maybe tell us a lot about where the Democratic Party is in a place like Buffalo.
I think that's right. And by the way, just for clarity, we've been clarifying this since June when India Walton and the Buffalo mayor's race broke into the headlines. People always say she would be the first Democratic socialist mayor of a major American city in decades. And then listeners pop up and they say, wait, Bernie Sanders. But by the way, these things are usually measured and reported. Burlington is small enough that it's not considered a major American city, and that's why that language is used. But yes, obviously, Bernie Sanders was mayor of an American city, a state capital, in fact. We thank Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News. Bob, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.